Good day. I'm Muscatine Radio General Manager Jamie Hopkins, and I welcome you to Muscatine Radio's Learn and Vote Project. This is a series of candidate interviews leading up to the 2012 general election, along with election night coverage live on November 6th. Today, I welcome into the studio current Republican State Senator Sean Hammerlink of Dixon. His challenger for Iowa's new 46th Senate District is Democrat Chris Brace of Muscatine. So, Sean, thanks for choosing to join us and provide the listeners in our broadcast area more information about you. I think you and your opponent would agree that the way that we ensure voting rights and the peaceable transfer of leadership in this country is to engage citizens, help them learn enough to make a wise decision, and spur them to vote.
First of all, thank you for the opportunity to be here. And one, it's a complete pleasure, and two, it's great for the public to, you know, kind of get a great look at the candidates and what they stand for.
Our responsibility as a community broadcaster is to provide you airtime as you participate in Muscatine Radio's Learn and Vote Project. So, Sean, the format here is an open answer response to the same five questions for each candidate that we profile with a hard stop at the 15-minute mark. The length of your answers will determine how many questions that we get through. And so before we begin, maybe you could, with redistricting, you being from Dixon, this is all new area for you. So talk about the boundaries of that new 46th Senate district.
Well, let's first talk about the 42nd district. It was Scott and Clinton counties. All of Clinton County and northern Scott County moved into a new open district now where Senator Knave and Mr. Knave and Rita Hart are attempting to run against each other up there. And then the western portion of Scott County, southern Scott County, and then most of Muscatine County became a new district as well. The new report would be about 60% of the voting population found here in Muscatine County.
Okay. Well, let's begin. Question one. For those not familiar with your campaign or your platform, what's the first thing that comes to mind when I ask, what do you stand for?
Oh, without a doubt, accountable and responsible government. With that being said, also, standing up for the taxpayer, being a taxpayer's watchdog, and that's not a cliche. I want everyone to look at your latest property tax bills and your income tax statements, look at what you're actually sending to local and state government, and then ask a question, where is that money going? How are we being accountable when politicians use it? And what is actually coming back to you in services? And how are we ensuring that your property taxes aren't going to continue to rise as we move forward? Long story short, when you go up or you're elected at any level, it's having the responsibility to know that you're having all this these funds coming in, these revenues coming in, and how are you going to be accountable with how you use them, and how are you going to come back and be responsible to the people who sent you there?
Okay. Question number two. As a current sitting lawmaker, do you plan to vote your conscience, or will you vote the constituency or the perceived will of the majority of the people in your district?
Well, ideally, you would hope that anyone that is elected does both simultaneously. It'd be disappointing to believe that someone went up there with an independent thought of a dictatorship that exists with Senator Grunstall's control of the Iowa Senate currently. When you hope that what you do when you go up there, the thoughts that you believe in, the thoughts that the community believes in, and in your heart, you're doing the best that you can at all levels simultaneously. Are there times where you're being challenged on the difference between how you'd move one bill versus another, or how you would amend something? Absolutely. The really, really neat thing about this job is you can always go back to your bosses. And the bosses are the people that sent you there. You can go back and talk to them and say, how is this going to impact the community? How is this going to impact your business? And how are we going to move government in a more responsible manner? And knowing that you have the people behind you, it's an awesome feeling when you're standing on the Senate floor and you're being challenged.
Talk about some examples that you've dealt with where that conflict rears its head, where you personally feel one way, but your constituency may not agree. And how do you reconcile that?
I wouldn't necessarily say that the constituency doesn't agree, but there are some votes that you would take where you sit there and you ask, what is the right path or the right decision to better the community? Here's a prime example. We had a business come into town, and they were bringing 550 new jobs. Fantastic, wonderful. They wanted some tax rebates in order to bring the business to town. Those 550 jobs were going to pay $9 an hour. Now, that's a huge problem because you're perpetuating the working poor. So you have two options. You either don't bring the business to town and you lose the 550 jobs, or you bring the 550 jobs, but you perpetuate only $9 an hour worth of income, which means these individuals, working families, are most likely going to have a second job in order to sustain their income, their bills, and actually take care of themselves. When you're in those situations, it's very, very difficult because you have to ask the question, is the right thing to do to go ahead and say, yes, cut the deal because I'm using your income tax dollars to offset this business coming in? Or is it to go back to the business and say, absolutely not? In that decision, we went back to the business and we said, hey, if you really want to come here, we believe in the people. We believe in the local community more than this. And we expect you to step up and do better than what you're offering us. And at the end of the day, it was tough by saying no initially. Yes, it was tough in the media, but I got to tell you, by the time we actually got those jobs here and the higher pay wages and knowing that people are in better paying jobs right now, it's something that you have to do.
So do I hear you saying that in that particular case, you had a conflict with giving my tax dollars and yours to the business as an incentive to bring a low-cost job here?
Well, yeah, as an incentive, because I'm using your income tax dollars or even your property tax dollars and offsetting someone else's local tax liability that they would have in exchange for them paying your neighbor $9 an hour. That's very difficult for me to do, knowing that I'm taking the money from you to give it to a company to make your neighbor a working poor individual. What you have to do is go back and say, hey, no, we in this community, we take care of each other. We can do better than this. And what was really neat is by the time we stood up for ourselves, the company came back and said, yeah, you know what? You guys are right. We can do better than this. And at the end, the jobs were created and your neighbor's working for a higher wage right now.
All right. You're listening to Candidate Profiles as part of Muscatine Radio's Learn and Vote project. Today's guest is Republican State Senator Sean Hammerlink. So, Sean, on to question number three. Public approval for politics and politicians in general is at an all-time low. Why do you think that is, and what will you do to improve that opinion?
Well, without a doubt, the reason why public opinion is so low is because politicians are ideologically believing that they're up there mostly for themselves. Now, they're going to stand in front of this camera or this mic, and they're going to tell you that they believe in jobs, the economy, better families, and lower taxes. Well, what's the alternative? You believe in less families, less jobs, more taxes, and a poorer economy. And when they go up there, we have two kind of sets of people that's showing up in Congress as well as at the state legislative level. You have the people that are sitting at the table, the ones who are willing to write the amendments, run the bills, and make the decisions. And then we have the people up there that are up there just for the titles. We call them button pushers in a way. The way that we fix this is first of all, we eliminate the nostalgia where a title means something so important where there's certain senators who want to jump in front of a camera and say, look at me. The way that we fix this is I sit down with Senator Sodders. I sit down with Senator Bartz. I sit down with Senator Wilhelm. People on the other side of the table, and we say, how are we going to do this together and how are we going to get this done? Forget the titles of Republican or Democrat. What we're going to do is we're going to lower property taxes here in Muscatine, not just for commercial. Let's be realistic. Residential, look at your residential rates. How are we actually going to get that done without hindering the municipal responsibility of the services that your city council has to offer? The way that we do that is we have to get the people to the table, and I think we can do that through leadership change and personality change, and I'm hoping this election is a I'm hoping the voters do a giant salvo out there to politicians that say we're tired of the way the business is being done. We want you guys to get back to work, and we want you guys to remember that you're working for us.
Hmm. Question number four: to which groups or organizations do you invest your time and your money?
And we're talking about groups outside of politics, I hope, because those are the most fun. I got to tell you, I have three boys. They're awesome. And they're all in wrestling right now. So they're 3, 5, and 9. And the best thing about wrestling is that they can wrestle in a wrestling room or they can wrestle and beat each other up in my living room. So that takes up quite a bit of time. I'm also part of the Elks Lodge. I'm also a Mason. And then I'm on the volunteer fire department out of Dixon, Iowa. And being in the volunteer fire department or being in, what we consider to be a professional or a paid fire department, it has the exact same requirements, the exact same training, the exact same documentation, and you have to put in almost the same amount of time in relation to, safety measures and everything else. So I got to tell you, those volunteer guys that are out there working like crazy, they leave their jobs or they get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning and not being paid, they just run in because they do it out of the goodness of their heart. It takes up a lot of time, and I have a ton of respect for them as well as the professional ones.
What's your vocation?
Vocation? I'm Catholic.
Oh, no, I mean your vocation. What do you do for a living outside
of
the legislature?
I teach full-time at Eastern Iowa Community Colleges, which is Muscatine, Scott, and Clinton. I've been a college instructor since I was 23, so it's been about 9 years. I also teach part-time at Augustana College, and I teach sociology.
Tell me about Dixon briefly.
Oh, it's a booming metropolis of about 220 people, of which has about 13 kids and three of them are mine, which is it's a great small community. Here's what's amazing about Iowa. These small towns, the community nostalgia that they have and how close-knit that they are, what's really neat is my in-laws are my neighbors down the road. So when I go off to the legislature, I just like knowing that there's help there with the kids while I'm gone.
Okay. Question number five, final question. Please name two significant accomplishments in your life.
Well, I kind of gave you a prelude to it, but I got to tell you, having three boys is pretty amazing. That is awesome. Well, let me rephrase that. We had four boys and we lost one. So raising three boys, 3, 5, and 9, it's like organized chaos because they have my energy. And I always joke that there's nothing sharper than at 3 o'clock in the morning when the dog barks, jumping out of bed and stepping on a Lego in the middle of the shag carpet. I got to tell you, that thing hurts. That does. The other accomplishments, I'd call them all experiences. And being able to get everything done in a day and knowing that I'm able to raise a good family and be a member of this community where, one, you can join in and you can help out with all these organizations. You can't pick one. It's are you an active participant in the community trying to make life better for everyone else? And if you can say yes and you can hold your head up high during the day and sleep comfortably at night, that's an accomplishment I hope most people would have.
Okay, thank you. You've been listening to Republican State Senator Sean Hammerling from Dixon, running against Muscatine Democrat Chris Brace for Iowa's new 46th Senate District. I'd like you to stay tuned for profiles on Tom Sands and Sarah Sedlacek, as well as Congressman Dave Lobosack, John Archer, Chris Brace, and many more. Also, please visit our website to hear podcasts of these profiles from all the candidates. And finally, I want to emphasize your responsibility to vote on or before Election Day, November 6th. You can vote right now. If you're unsure how to register or how to accomplish that, you can give our offices out here at Muscatine Radio a call. And so this has been Muscatine Radio's Learn and Vote Project. Thank you for listening, and you're listening to the voice of Muscatine, AM 860 KWPC.